second verse I like in connection with what you're going to put up with here for the next couple of minutes. I could not see through the shadows ahead. I looked at the cross of my Savior instead. I bowed to the will of the Master that day, then peace came and tears fled away. I could not see. Well, welcome. I know we don't usually use this thing on Wednesday nights, but hey, I've been using visuals just as long as I've been preaching or teaching. Before we had all this electronic wizardry, I always used overhead slides. I'd come in with a big pile of overhead slides and slap, 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 you know. So this is a lot better than the old days. But anyway, I, being in the way, you'll recognize that from, as the pastor mentioned at the end of the council meeting last night, that's a matter of Eliezer. You don't need to turn there. This has got nothing to do with Eliezer. But you'll recognize the passage as having to be the time when Abraham sent a servant, Eliezer, go find me a wife for my son Isaac. And God led him, and he found Rebecca and brought her back. And Eliezer made the statement, I, being in the way God used me. Well, I thought maybe we could benefit from a couple of thoughts about being in the way tonight. Now, God insists on working through people. That's the reason being in the way is so important. You know, time of Moses, God could have, about 2 o'clock in the morning or so forth, made sure everybody was sound asleep, and then miraculously taken 2.5 million people and moved them from Egypt into the promised land. You think he could do that? Obviously he could have done that. But no, he didn't work that way. He insisted on using a man. He takes this guy, Moses, a dedicated son of the Egyptian court, and boy, oh boy, turns him around, 180-degree turn, and gets him to serve his purposes, puts him in the way, so to speak, and gets him to serve his purposes. In the 16th century, when the corruption of the Roman Catholic Church reached its absolute depth, and I'll mention that and how deep it got in a minute, but when it got to that absolute depth, God could have sent his angels to destroy every Catholic church, cathedral, and basilica in the world. He could have killed the Pope, the cardinals, the archbishops, the bishops, the priests. And then he could have sent his angels to teach, reteach biblical Christianity. But no, he didn't do that. He takes Martin Luther and first makes him a dedicated son of the church, a rabid Catholic who followed the rules when nobody else did in those days. And then he uses things, circumstances to turn him another 180 degrees. And gets him to start the Protestant Reformation. Now, Luther, in his lifetime, didn't go all the way to biblical Christianity as we know it, but he started the process. If you have ever read his life, I've read several biographies on him, he got closer and closer to biblical Christianity as he went on. Time and again, God would show him that this is wrong and that is wrong. And no, he didn't shed all the baggage of the Catholic Church, but he came a long way. So God used Martin Luther in a marvelous way. And then there are some people who, in effect, tell the Lord, I am in the way, and I'm reporting for duty. Here am I, send me. Oh, I like the Hebrew better, which is even more emphatic in the Hebrew. Behold me! It's the Hebrew that we translate, here am I, send me. So Isaiah reported for duty. Samuel, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Paul, Lord, what would you have me to do? Now, the interesting thing about all five of these guys, though, is that they got in the way because God put them into the way. Moses, of course, he showed him a burning bush. So Moses, hey, I got to see this, a bush that's burning and it's not consumed. What on earth is this? And so Moses had to go marching off because he had to see what this was. And that's where how God put him in the way. Martin Luther is an interesting case. First, he was a very secular guy. His father was a lawyer. He was trotting on his horse, well-to-do family, and trotting on his horse one evening when a thunderstorm came about, and a lightning bolt knocked the horse right out from under him. And that shocked him so bad, he committed himself to the Lord. I will become a monk and I will become a priest. So that was step one. God had got him into the Catholic Church that way. And then sooner or later, all good priests, and he was recognized as one who really followed the rules when hardly anybody else ever did. So all good priests were inevitably sent to a pilgrimage to Rome. So he was sent down to Rome. He went into a church one time, and they were serving communion, as the Catholic Church did at least in those days. You came to the altar, and you knelt at the altar. And these two priests were serving the communion. And in those days, the women wore low-cut dresses, almost inevitably. And the priest, as the woman's kneeling there, and he's right over her, he's looking down. And then in Latin, because the people didn't understand Latin, Italian, in Latin, which the priest knew, he would make some ribald comment to the other priest. Martin Luther was so appalled by that's what turned him away from the Catholic Church. Again, it was a step-by-step process. But God put Martin Luther in the way by exposing him to these things. Isaiah, of course, looked up and saw the throne room of God and the cherubim and everything else. That's how he got in the way. Samuel, God spoke to him. Samuel, he goes running over to Eli. What do you want? I'm here. And then, no. It must have been God talking to you. That's how God got Samuel in the way. And of course, you know that obviously we all know the story of Paul and the Damascus Road. So these folks, God took some overt action, let's put it, to put these people in the way. Now there are some people that just happen to be in the way. And they don't experience the throne room of God or the Damascus Way, or God waking them up out of their sleep or a lightning bolt or whatever. Some people just happen to be in the way. They may not have any idea that God was going to use them. In fact, they might not even realize they're being used of the Lord. I just wanted to share you two examples of this in our brief devotion tonight before we go to prayer. Two examples. Example one, 1 Samuel 20:26. 1 Samuel 20:26. Here's the case where Saul is got it against David. As Saul, verse 26 of Samuel 20. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day, for he thought something might befall him. He is not clean, surely he is not clean. It came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty, and Saul said unto Jonathan his son, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meet, neither yesterday nor today? Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. This goes on, and Saul's, verse 30, Saul's anger is against Jonathan because he's mad about Jesse. That son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion of thy mother's nakedness. For as long as the son of Jesse shall live in the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Now send and fetch him to thee, and he shall surely die. Jonathan's got the message. Saul intends to kill David, and the idea that he can keep the throne in Saul's family. So he went and he sent a signal, shortened this down a little bit. He made a pact with David and said, I'm going to go out and shoot arrows. I'm going to take a kid with me. And if I tell the kid the arrow is in front of you, one thing, if you tell the kid the arrow is behind you, something else. And so here we come to that little lad. In verse 36, he said unto his lad, run, find now the arrows which I show. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, is not the arrow beyond thee? And Jonathan cried after the lad, make haste, speed, haste, stay not. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter, the secret signal. So this lad was used of the Lord. He was an instrument that God chose to use via Jonathan and David to preserve David. So David would know to hightail it out of there before Saul and his army could kill him. So here's a little lad, and God uses this little fella. God made him an instrument by which David escaped Saul. He had no idea he was being used in this fashion. He didn't have any idea what was going on, the little kid. But he was in the way. Unbeknownst to himself, he was in the way, and God used him. Now, another example, second example, John 6:9. John chapter 6 and verse 9. 6:9. Okay, let's go back a couple of verses. The context, verse 5, chapter 6, verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he said unto Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Of course, he knew what he was going to do, but he was just testing him. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Well, Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they above so many?" And you know the story, of course. The Lord takes those 5 barley loaves and those 2 fishes, and he feeds the whole crowd with them. So here's another lad that happened to be in the way. Now this little feller got up out of bed in the morning and prepared a lunch for himself. Probably he heard that this Jesus of Nazareth is in the area, and he probably had heard the adults all talking about this Jesus, and supposedly this guy does miracles, and he's sent from God, and he claims to be the Son of God. He probably heard some of that talk and said, "I can go out. I'm curious. I'm going to go out and see what this is all about." But he had no idea God was going to use him like that, did he? He would have realized how he was used once he was used. But until that happened, until God took those loaves and fishes and miraculously expanded them to feed thousands of people, this young fellow wouldn't have had any idea that he was going to be used. But he was in the way. And it didn't take a throne room vision. It didn't take a lightning bolt. It didn't take a voice of God to put him in the way. Like the lad that Jonathan used, he just happened to be in the way. And God used him. So what's the point of all that? You take these 2 stories and you pluck them out of Scripture. These show us that you can be used of the Lord knowingly or unknowingly if you're in the way. You may not even know you're being used, or it may be very apparent that you're used. Chance encounters. We have not only these 5 people I've just mentioned, but we have people in this very room that this applies to. Well, it probably applies to everybody in this room, but a couple of examples that I can cite from recent knowledge. Might lead someone to Christ, might be in the way. A few weeks ago, on July 11th, Trixie had her operation on the elbow, which, thank God, is beginning to come along now. And the pastor and Dell over there were kind enough to give up their Saturday and blow their whole Saturday with me, sitting there waiting for the results. They took her in, as the hospitals always do. You got to come in first thing in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning. But they didn't start doing anything till 1 o'clock in the afternoon, so we wound up killing the whole day before we ever found out what was the story was. But while we were there, sitting right next to Dell was this young fellow with a broken wrist, broken hand, I guess it was, by the name of Walter Giles. And Dell got chatting with him a little bit. When he first went in, he was sleeping. Had a blanket over himself, and he was sleeping. He was waiting to be serviced also. And then he woke up, and Dell started chatting with him, and then Pastor chimed in, and between the two of them, they led him to the Lord right there and then. Chance encounter. And they were in the way, and Walter was in the way too. And Walter was led to the Lord. And then I think a number of years ago, where Glenn Miller talked to that fella over there. to Robert. And Robert was in the way. And Robert has since become a real servant of the Lord, both here in this church and in the Manicare, wherever else he can help. I know the few times I've been to Manicare, I've been impressed with the job he does there. He goes roaming all over that place, finding people, getting them into wheelchairs, wheeling them into the room, coaxing other people in, greeting them. I mean, he's a real gentleman's gentleman, the way he greets these women and men and women there. Amazed me. Usually he's pretty quiet, but boy, how you doing? Good to see you and all this stuff. He put me to shame. But he gets them in there and he gets them warmed up, so to speak, for the service. Tonight, I came in early because I had to set up all this stuff. Because since I insist on using it, I had to set it all up. First person in beside after Trixie and me is Robert. And what books are we going to use tonight? Of course, I didn't know which books we were using, but here's Robert, ready to help set up the books. Sunday mornings, take down chairs after the morning service. Put exchange books if we're going to switch books for the evening service. In the way, and God uses. So that's about all I got here. Share here. The key is, to, like Abraham's servant, just to be in the way. If we're in the way, God can use us. We may never even know if we're used. One night in Korea, a feller and I were riding back from R&R, where we were down in the town. He was crocked to the gills. He was drunk as a skunk. But I was trying to witness to him. But I was trying to witness over the alcohol, which doesn't always work. The work of God causes it to work. And that particular night, he was pretty woozy, but I got to the plain of salvation. He said to me, I'm too drunk to hardly know what I'm doing. He says, I got to think about this when I'm sober. He says, I can't honestly tell you now. I'm just, my brain is spinning, and I can hardly comprehend everything you're saying, because I am crocked up, completely drunk. Well, I never know if that fellow ever came to the Lord or not. I never saw him again. I was in a sector in Korea where I was only in for a brief time, and the army pulled me out of that sector, so I never saw him again. And I don't know. So you never know if you're being used or not. But if you're in the way, God's going to use you. One way or another, he will use us. So if we're walking close to the Lord, that is, then we will, one fashion or another, will be his instrument. So, just a couple words of encouragement. Semper paratus. Everybody knows what semper fi is. You know what semper paratus is? The Coast Guard motto. Semper paratus is our surrender. Da, 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 da. It means always prepared. Semper paratus. By God's grace, may we always be prepared, so that the Lord can use us.